1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Again, 1 John 1, 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I pray you would dwell on those verses and what they mean to us as Christians, how they are so powerful and how we need them every day. If we are faithful enough to confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive us our sins. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity, the privilege to be here this morning and open the Word of God. I pray, dear Lord, that You would be honored, that You would be glorified, and we would lift up the name of Jesus Christ all day in these premises. I pray, dear Lord, that Your Word would just go forth now and the Holy Spirit would take it. Illuminate the Scriptures for us, dear Lord. Speak to our hearts. Take what each individual here needs today, dear Lord, and apply it to their hearts and lives. And I pray, dear Lord, if there is one here that does not know You as their Savior, in this auditorium and any of the other classrooms around the campus today, that Your Holy Spirit would convict them and show them their need of salvation, and that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today and have a home in heaven, and how we would rejoice and how the angels would rejoice, and how we would thank God for Your work. For it's in His precious name we pray and ask this. Amen. You may be seated. Exodus chapter 3 is where we're going to jump off from, but we'll start this morning. This morning's word is called enduo. 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 As we continue this Sunday school series, Greek words every Christian should know or at least have a knowledge of, let's just recap real quickly those words that we have learned. It seems odd. I went back and counted this week, and we've really only looked at five words, which is shocking to me. It seems like we've talked about so many more. But we've looked at the word tetelestai, which means what, class? It is finished. It has been paid in full. Our salvation, the work of Jesus Christ, has been 100% complete. It has been paid in full. And then we moved on to the word sozo, which means to be what, class? To be saved, to be redeemed, to be made whole. So through Christ's work on the cross, through tetelestai, since it was finished, we can be saved, we can be redeemed, we can be made whole by the blood of Christ, sozo. And then the first step of obedience for a Christian is to follow our Lord and Savior in the mode of baptism by immersion, and that word was called baptizo, and it means to be put under the water, and we explain that as a horseshoe would be put under the water that was being beat on the anvil, or a garment being dyed, it would be submerged under the water. That is the mode of baptism. And then we came to the word a couple weeks ago called peripateo. Anybody remember what peripateo meant? To walk. Very good. It meant to walk. It describes our spiritual lifestyle of the individual believer and our walk to conduct oneself in a particular manner, taking the opportunities that come before you to serve God. That's peripateo. And then last week we looked at the word oxano. Oxano. And what did that word mean? To grow. Very good. Somebody took some notes. I can see them going through their notes. Oxano means to grow, spiritually grow. But in the Scriptures, of course, it means physical growth, whereas animal life or plant life or human life means to physically grow. And then we saw how the Bible grew in prominence and acceptance in the people of the early church. And then we also saw the growth of the spiritual believer, and we talked mainly about the maturity of the believers. This week's word in duo adds to oxano. As we grow, as we're walking with the Lord, and as we grow, we should be in duo. It means to put on. We are to put on specific articles, but we are also to put on Christ. So as we are walking with God and growing with God and maturing for God and wanting to serve God, there are things that we must put on. And as we go through the Scriptures, we're going to see, as we put these things on, God is preparing us for service, but He's also preparing us for battle. As we grow in the Lord and as we mature in the Lord, Satan doesn't care for that. He really despises a Christian to grow. And he'll do everything he can to stop you from growing. And if we put these articles on, it will help us to grow and mature and to be able to battle against Satan and his fiery darts. Enduo is used only 32 times in the Bible. As I was studying this and as we come to a particular portion of Scripture in just a few minutes, there were so many words I wanted to teach this week. I came to Ephesians chapter 6 when it says, put on the whole armor of God. And oh, what a great text that is. But then when you look at it from the Greek standpoint and what those words mean, there is one word in particular, wrestle. And I'm from the South, so it's wrestle. But wrestle is only used one time in the Scriptures, and it's right there in Ephesians chapter 6. But then there's so many other words, the methods of Satan and the put on of the whole armor of God and the whole armor of God. There's so many things. But as the Holy Spirit led, I went through and prayed about putting on, used 32 times in the New Testament. It literally means to put a garment on, to be clothed with a garment, to have it on, to be arrayed in a garment. But then my favorite definition that I found says it's in a sense of sinking or gliding into a garment. Now, how many of you, when you come home from a hard day's work, either in the yard, working in the yard, or out at the secular job place, or even here working at the church, how many of you go home and say, I can't wait to get my shoes off and to slide into my slippers or my bedroom shoes? I love my bedroom shoes. Just love them. And I'd wear them all day if I could. They're just comfortable. Or how many people, you know, I have to wear a suit just about every day of the week. And so when I get either into a hotel room or when I get it back into my home, I can't wait to get the tie off. I can't wait to get the jacket off and the button collar shirts off. I can't wait to get off and get into comfortable clothes. It's like gliding into that comfortable clothes. I put them on. There are numerous aspects of the word enduo that we could look at this morning. But I like to focus on one specific aspect. Twice in the Old Testament, two godly men were told to put off or to remove the same article of clothing before they came before the manifestation of God. So let's turn to Exodus chapter number 3 with me, please. Both times this occurs, the same article of clothing has been removed. Both times this announcement comes just prior to the calling into service of God. And the first is Moses in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus. Let's look at the first 10 verses. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I will have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And verse 18 of chapter 3 says, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and they shall come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to our Lord God. I'm sorry, in chapter 4, verse 18 is where I meant to go. And Moses went. Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. The act of enduo, the opposite of enduo here, is putting off. He had to take off his shoes. He had to remove his shoes. But chapter 4 and verse 18 says what? He went. Well, he had to put his shoes back on. He's walking through the desert. There was an act of putting his shoes back on to go and start serving God. Now turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. The second occurrence in the Old Testament is in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua and the tribe of Israel have marched through the wilderness 40 years. Moses has died. Joshua is now the leader. They have crossed the Jordan River miraculously on dry ground. They're getting ready to fight the Battle of Jericho. They're camped in Gilgal. And Joshua 5, look with me in verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and he said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face on the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Chapter 6, we go into the instructions of Joshua that he has gotten from the manifestation, the pre-incarnate Christ here. He has gotten the instructions on how to defeat Jericho. He goes back to his people and he says, this is how we're going to defeat Jericho. How do you know that's the pre-incarnate Christ? Well, he fell at his feet and worshipped him. An angel would not accept the worship of a human. This is Christ. He's the captain of the Lord's host. But he had to take off his shoes because he was in the presence of God. He was on holy ground. But after that was over and he got up and he moved away, he had to put his shoes back on and begin service. Putting his shoes back on is enduo. Now look with me in the New Testament. Let's look at some examples of enduo. In Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. Jesus Christ has been teaching his disciples and he's getting ready to send them out to serve him. Look what it says. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. And he called on him the 12, and he began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Well, that's how we are now, isn't it? Some of us. And be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. Make sure you got your sandals on, and now go serve me. Don't have any scrip, don't have any money, don't have any bread, but make sure you got your shoes on and only one coat. Put your shoes on and go serve me, disciples, is what Christ is saying. He's saying, enduo, put on. Now look with me in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and verse 46. Christ has died on the cross. He gave up the ghost on the cross. He has resurrected from the dead after the third day. He's now given instructions to His disciples. In Luke 24 and verse 46, the Word of God says, "And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." The word endued is enduo, put on. You go to Jerusalem, you 12 or 11 at this point, and He says, you go to Jerusalem and you wait. And I'm going to return to heaven, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, as we see in the first chapter of Acts, as the Comforter came to the disciples, the Holy Spirit that we receive at the day of salvation. They had to wait on Him in Jerusalem. And He says, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father until ye be endued with power from on high. What is this power for? Why did they need to wait on the power of the promise of the Father? To serve God. To prepare for the battle that they were getting ready to face. They needed to enduo, wait on the enduo of the power of God so they might serve Him. Now look with me in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We're not going to look at all 32 examples, but we'll look at a few more. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11, "And that, knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, and for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand." Is it ever? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." In verse 12, He says for us to put on the armor of light. That is enduo. And in verse 14, He says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Enduo, to put on. It's like sliding into a garment. It is to put that on to prepare for service and to prepare for battle. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, the Word of God says in Ephesians 4:24, "And that ye put on the new man." We've looked at this a few weeks ago, to put off the old man and to put on the new man. But in Ephesians 4:24 it says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." That we be clothed in the new man. Why do we need the new man? We carry around with us the old man everywhere we go. That flesh that we can't get rid of until Christ comes back for us. But when we put on the new man, we are preparing to serve God. As we've talked about before, you know, we have these two natures inside of us. And whichever nature we feed, the old nature or the new nature, whichever we feed the most is the one that's going to help us succeed that day in that nature. If we live fleshly, well, the old nature is going to succeed at that moment in time, and we're going to be successful in the flesh. I don't know if you'd call that success, but we would live for the flesh. If we put on the new man and we feed the new man through the Word of God, feasting on the Word of God, then we're going to serve God through the power of God, because we have put on Christ. We have put on the armor of light. We have been endued with the power of God from on high. And then the most popular verse that this is talked about is in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we could talk for weeks on this portion of Scripture. Books have been written just on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. But it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." There's that power again. In the presence of the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord, and to be strong in the Lord, "put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The wiles, the methods of the devil. "For we wrestle," that's the only time that word is used in the whole Bible, as wrestle is right here. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." If we are putting on Christ, if we are serving Christ and preparing for battle by enduo, by putting on Christ, we'll be able to stand for Christ. If we don't put it on, we're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is much stronger than I am. And you know what? He's much stronger than you are. But we have one that lives inside of us that He is nowhere near comparable. If we put on Christ, now, you'll say, "Well, I got saved, I've put on Christ, I've got the new nature." Well, it's a daily thing. You must be endued with the power and the strength of God every day to serve Him. You must be endued, put on the power and strength of God to go out and serve and live for Him every day. If you don't, those attacks are going to come and you're going to fall. We've got to put our shoes back on and go and serve God. It's great to be in the house of God. I love coming to the house of God. Somebody asked me the other day what my hobby was. I said, to be in church. I love coming to church. I love opening the Word of God and hearing the Word of God preached. This is my comfort area. And we're secure here from the world because we're among people that love us and want to have the same purpose and serve God together. And glorify our Father in heaven and glorify His Son. But when we step out of these doors, we've got to put our shoes back on and get ready to go serve and battle for the Lord. We that are saved, that have asked Jesus Christ to forgive our sins and to come into our hearts and be our personal Savior, we have been called to serve. As Pastor says often, we are here to occupy until His coming. We're not to be sitting on the pew or sitting in our lounge chair at home and doing nothing for God. We are being called to service. To serve our Lord and Savior is to serve the Creator of the universe. We have been chosen to serve. Do you know that? We have been given the privilege to serve. He could have saved us and taken us immediately home to heaven. But no, He wants to use us. He wants to use me. That just boggles my mind when I think about me. Nobody knows me like I know me. I know my faults better than anybody knows my faults. And you know your faults better than anybody knows your faults. And God still wants to use you. And He still wants to use me. To serve, we must have been sozo. We must have been saved. We must have been obedient and baptizo. We must be continuing our walk or our peripateo. And we must be maturing or oxano so that as we progress through this walk, we are called to serve by putting on Christ. To serve without putting on would spell disaster. We'd be attempting to serve in our own strength. And our own power, and our own might, and our own energy. I don't have endless energy. I know after a Sunday, I'm exhausted. I know Pastor probably is exhausted. Every time you stand up and preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God, it drains you physically. I can't wait for the Sunday afternoon nap because it drains me. If I tried to do this out of my own energy, I wouldn't make it through the first 15 minutes. Maybe the first 5 minutes. And it surely wouldn't impact people's lives like the Holy Spirit can impact people's lives. We must be surrendered to His will and in His strength and in His power. Look what it says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. So many people skip over this verse or don't give it enough attention when they're looking at the armor of God. But it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We can be victorious because Christ has already won the victory. We can be victorious because He is the victory. Through His strength and through His power, we put on the armor of God. Moses and Joshua had to put their shoes back on before they began to serve. The disciples were told to have their feet shod with sandals and later on to wait in the upper room in Jerusalem until they were endued with the power from on high. We too must put on the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit before we attempt to serve. Before we try to teach children in a Sunday school class. Before we try to teach children in a teen church or in a vacation Bible school or as bus workers picking those people, those children and those adults up and bringing them to church and taking them back home and all the activities on the bus on the way here and on the way home. We must be endued with the power of God. The preachers that stand behind this pulpit must be endued with the power and strength of God. Soul winners must go out and be endued with the power and strength of God. Encouragers in the church. How we have some encouragers in this church. You must be endued with the power of God and the strength of God to continue on encouraging the brethren. Prayer warriors, you cannot reach the throne of God without putting on Christ. We could go on and on. We are told in Ephesians 4:24 to put on the new man. In Colossians 3:10, we're also told to put on the new man. The new man is the new nature. We inherit this at Christ. We inherit this Christ nature at the time of our new birth. People recognize us, or they should, by our Christ-likeness. If you're not putting on Christ every day, what are people seeing of you? Are they seeing the old man? Are they seeing the new man? People watch us. Every day, people watch us. They know if you've told them you're a Christian, they're looking to watch for you to fall. They can't wait till you fall and say, "I told you that it wasn't going to last." We are told in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God. We cannot. I don't care how strong we are. If we had the Arnold Schwarzenegger of Christians up here today, I don't care how strong you are, in your strength and in your power and your energy, you could not fight the battles that Satan is going to attack you with. You can't. We must have Christ put on. We can strive to serve God in our own strength and in our own energy, but there will be no rewards in heaven for that. They'll be burned up with the wood, hay, and stubble. What are the lasting effects of this type of service of serving God in our own strength and our own power? There is none. Nothing for the glory of God. What are the eternal results of this type of service of not putting on the service of the power of God? There's no eternal results. It's all going to be burned up. But if we put on, if we enduo the strength and the power and the energy of God, think what lies before us in eternity if we do it with the right motivation and the right will. Let us not have the response of Moses in Exodus chapter 3. There's five excuses Moses offers up to God why he's not the one to use. Go back with me in Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, you know, he's met God at the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses says, I'm nobody. His first excuse is, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. What do you want to use me for? And God says in verse 12, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. God says, I want to use you. Moses says, I'm nothing. Why do you want to use me? God says, I have chosen you. That should be enough. The second excuse he offers up is in verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses says, I don't have any of the answers. They're going to question me, and I don't have the answers. God says in verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. God says, You have my word. I'm going to go with you. That is enough. The third excuse Moses gives is in Exodus 4 and verse 1. Moses answered and said, But behold, they shall not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses says, I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't want to be the one. They're not going to believe me anyway. God says in verse 2, The Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he goes forth and he shows him how he has the power of God with him. He gives him his rod. He throws it down, turns into a serpent. He grabs it by the tail. It comes back to a rod. He sticks his hand into his breast. He pulls it out. It's leprous. And he puts it back in his breast and his coat, and it's not leprous anymore. It says, You're going with the power of God. It says in Exodus 4 and verse 10, the next excuse, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. So I don't have any abilities, God. You can't use me. I don't have any talents. I can't even speak properly. Glad nobody sits on the front row because I just spray it. You're like, well, he's not a teacher. God uses whatever we give to him. He knows our abilities. It says in verse 11, And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who hath made the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? He says, I know your abilities. I made you. That's why I have chosen you. You are a chosen vessel. One by one, Moses' excuses for not serving God are being dispelled by God. Then look at verse 13 of chapter 4. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt. Now, if we looked at this the way the scriptures are written in the original in Hebrew here, it's really... Sarcastic. He's being sarcastic here. He says, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And God says, in verse 14 through 17, he says, You are my choice. Now, Moses misses out on a blessing here because God appoints Aaron to be the spokesman. And he allows Aaron to speak. If you'll look through the plagues, Aaron's doing the talking and Moses is standing there with the power of God. But he made excuses for not putting on the power and strength of God and going out and serving God. God takes ordinary men and women and makes them instruments for his use. There was nothing extraordinary about Moses. He was an ordinary man, but God wanted to use him. Let me wrap up by going to the book of Revelation. Let's not make the excuses of Moses. Let us put on Christ. Revelation chapter 1. Look with me in verse 13. Revelation 1 verse 13. And it's talking about Jesus Christ here. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. In verse 13 it says, clothed with a garment. Christ was enduo. Christ put on certain instruments and items ready to serve his Father, ready to do battle, ready to serve. In Revelation 15, again it talks about Christ. I'm sorry, it's talking about the angels here. In Revelation 15 and verse 5, it says, and I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, and they are worthy. Look with me back in verse 6. Got the wrong portion of Scripture. I've wrote down the wrong scripture. There's a place here it says they were clothed in pure and white linen. 15:6. Did I just 15? Oh, I'm in 16:6. That's why it's wrong. Thank you. 15:6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, and clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. They were clothed in pure and white linen, these seven angels. They were enduo. They were enclothed. They were put on with these fine linen. But I love Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19, look with me in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. That's the church. We're going to be in duo, put on with those fine garments, those light garments. We are going to be endued with the power and strength of God at that moment perfectly. Perfectly. If we are to serve God properly, if we are going to put on Christ and put on and be clothed in the strength and the power and the might of God, we must first surrender to God. Say, I give it to you, Lord. My dreams, my ambitions, my goals, my family, everything I possess, I give to you. Allow me to put on Christ that you might receive the honor and glory for my service and preparing me for the battles that are to come. That's what Christ wants us to do. With enduo, to put on. Lord, we thank you so much for the ability that we have to serve you here in this world. How we take it for granted, Lord, I pray that you would help us not. Help us daily to put on Christ. Help us daily to go forth putting on the strength and the power and the might and the energy of God Almighty, that we might go out and serve you, glorifying you, and to go out ready and prepared for the battles that we will face. Help us, Lord, to be true Christians, worthy of the name Christian. For we can never be worthy of it, Lord, but help us to live towards that goal. For it's in His name we ask and pray.